Vipassana ani dohari bhakti bosailo. The hunter then received both the great sages in the courtyard of his house. He spread out a straw mat for them to sit upon, and with great devotion he begged them to sit down. Jalani bhakti dohara pada prakalilo. Se jalasri puruse piya sireloilo. He then fetched water and washed the sage's feet with great devotion. Then both husband and wife drank that water and sprinkled it on their heads. Report, this is the process one should follow in receiving the spiritual master, someone on the level of the spiritual master. When the spiritual master comes to the residence of his disciples, the disciples should follow in the footsteps of the former hunter. It doesn't matter what one was before initiation. After initiation, one must learn the etiquette mentioned herein. Om Tat Sat. In other words, the hunter was totally uncivilized. He was prone to causing great suffering to other living entities. Nonetheless, although he was an uncultured aborigine in the forest, when he took initiation, he learned all the Vaishnava etiquette and he followed it. States to get pure love for Godhead, one has to also know Vaishnava etiquette. The other places of the Bhagavatam, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita rather, it states that the dust from the lotus feet of a devotee, the water from washing his feet, and the remnants of his prasadam are most pure. So in this way, one is to receive the spiritual master even at one's home by washing the feet before entering and then giving other presentations, and then one takes the water from the washing and sprinkles over the family member's head. Those who want to, if they feel inclined, and other formulas given, can drink or whatever. We've seen this in South India and all over India actually. When the devotees come and do chanting of Harinam, even people run out of their house with scented water and throw the water on the feet of the devotees while they're going by in the street doing Harinam, and the devotees walk by in the water. And then after the devotees are by, I've seen the Kirtan party goes by, I've seen the Grihastha would pour the water, roll in the water afterwards. He's got all the dust from the devotees just rolling in the dirt, getting there. It says in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, no one can achieve the shelter of the Lord without taking abhishek, the dust of the feet of the devotees. There was a famous devotee of Krishna known as Kalidas. And there was another devotee, forget his name. The other devotee, his goal was to get somehow or another the Mahaprasad remnants from the plate of all of the pure devotees on the planet. So whenever he heard about any pure devotee, he would somehow or another make a plan to invite him to his house and give him prasadam, and then get some remnants. So he invited one person, and the person ate everything on his plate. He was in great anxiety, so he gave him some liquid chutney. The person ate, but there was still a little slick on the leaf plate or something. After he left, he took, you know, took the, went out and followed him, took the leaf plate, licked it, got remnant. And they invited the Kalidas. Kalidas was very careful that he wouldn't get any remnant. So he even took his plate, washed it off, took every last bit. So this devotee was in great anxiety that how will I get some remnant? So then he thought today, so I'll give the mango chutney with the seed. Cannot eat the seed of the mango. So, but then Kalida took his plate and he went out to throw it. So this Grihastha went and he was crawling in the bushes, following, so he wouldn't be, so he could see where he was going to throw the plate. And then finally saw where he threw the plate. Went there and got the mango seed, sucked on it, get the Mahaprasad. So, in this way, that devotee got special favor from Krishna because of his devotion or faith in other devotees. The Kanishta Adhikari doesn't have faith in other devotees, but only has faith in God to some degree. But the Madhyam Adhikari, they have faith in the devotees of the Lord, in addition to the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada said that all of his followers are pure devotees, different levels. Actually, in this movement, there are many, the devotees are trying to serve Krishna without desire for material gains. And it's the basic definition of pure devotion. So on one hand, we should be very careful not to offend other devotees. It's not that we just avoid offending the guru, that of course we must be very careful to avoid. But we also avoid offending other devotees, both God brothers of our guru as well as our own God brothers and God sisters. Because everyone is very dear to Krishna due to their having served Krishna, they're serving Krishna. Otherwise, they're dear. And we have to be careful not to make any offense against them. Srila Prabhupada was really concerned with this because he saw the tendencies of the devotees to sometimes become envious or become offensive to one another, which he said was very dangerous. You know that the Pandavas, the Jadu dynasty could not be annihilated by any outside force. Only by fighting amongst themselves could they destroy each other. Srila Prabhupada said nothing can stop this movement, but the only thing that can stop the movement is if within it there's fighting amongst the devotees or there's offenses made. So we should be very careful not to offend any of the devotees. We bow down in the morning and we pray for the obeisances, we give our obeisances to the devotees, or like desire trees. To the day we should carry that out and not think, speak, or do anything which is offensive to another devotee. So, the positive side, we try to get the blessings of the devotees so we can advance quickly in devotional service. Now, of course, in ISKCON, it's a complex in the sense that when Srila Prabhupada was present, then there was the guru and disciple. And now there's two generations, guru, disciple, grand disciple, with many with that, because there are many gurus who are god brothers, that mean there are many grand disciples who are cousin brothers coming from different gurus. And this way, sometimes it's very becomes a little complex. Of course, in the future, there'll be even three generations on the planet at one time. It's not inconceivable at all. Because no one can say anything could happen, that a spiritual master can leave the planet, and then his disciples, some of the senior disciples, could also become spiritual masters. And this way you could even have great-grand disciples present at the same time. So somehow one has to adjust in the Vaishnava etiquette. All of these complexities. And to see, of course, during that time, Srila Prabhupada did instruct his disciples to go through the temple president, through the GBC members, that every disciple could not always just go to Srila Prabhupada, but they had to go through their authorities. And he made a basic structure. So you can understand that in this pluralistic kind of situation in ISKCON, that the structure that Srila Prabhupada gave us is a very unifying factor. And within the structure, then you can accommodate unlimited different kind of varieties. If the structure and the system established by Prabhupada is maintained, there's a kind of a etiquette or system that Prabhupada created for worldwide preaching for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So this is a very needed system. Otherwise, how to adjust all these varieties of situations which are going to come up. So in any case, the devotees should always be humble and should see the good qualities in other devotees. Even if one may be totally ignorant before initiation and make so many mistakes, but once one is taking after initiation, Prabhupada said here, one must learn the etiquette. In fact, there's a verse somewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that states that unless one knows Vaishnava etiquette, one cannot develop pure love for Krishna. That would indicate that possibly one could get liberation or could get other, but to get pure love for Krishna, one has to know how to relate with other Vaishnavas, how to act according to the Vaishnava etiquettes, and how to avoid committing Vaishnava offenses. It's called Marjita Langana, or Marjita Atikrama, to go against the etiquette and the consideration of Vaishnavas. This is a kind of offense, one level. So naturally we know that if we commit offense to the devotee, that's the first offense of the 10 offenses to the holy name. Then in doing so, we won't be offender to the holy name. And in this way things compound. So we should try to assimilate through these, especially we can gain examples by seeing how different devotees have acted. Just even this Mrigari the hunter, how he acted in relation with his guru, how other great souls acted when they received Krishna, or when they received other saintly persons. In India, you can see many of these traditions are still very much alive. Even One day I went to South India to a home. Then outside their house, they put a little wooden platform, and they said, "Please stand there." And then they poured water on the feet and put some kumkum and rice. It was like a whole pile of stuff there, and paid their obeisances. And then they requested, "Please come inside." And they came in and again offered respect and garments and things. So these were not the initiated disciples of ISKCON, or it was simply I was visiting for some other purpose, but they took it like that, that this was the way of receiving a sadhu or a Vaishnava. So we can see that many of these traditions are still very much alive in India. And that, Prabhupada said, is the singular most important asset that the Indian people have. That they know, or that's one of the most praiseworthy assets, is that they know how to respect a saintly person. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking in Vrindavana with his disciples on the Bhaktivedanta Marga road. And there was a rickshaw driver who was driving, and I don't know if you know rickshaws. They have pulling rickshaws and they have pedal rickshaws. So in Vrindavan it's a more long distance pedaling rickshaw. These are people who pedal a bicycle with the people sitting on the back. So if you pull around people all day, like a horse or like other kind of pulling animals would do, those who have experienced that, often these rickshaw drivers tend to have a kind of stubborn attitude or kind of difficult to deal with mentality, possibly due to the nature of their work. In the hot sun, driving people around, being the propelling force of their vehicle. And some places I've heard that they have an average lifespan of 35 years, but I don't know how accurate that is, at least in Calcutta. It's very hard work in some places. In any case, here's one rickshaw driver coming, and all of a sudden, about 30 feet from Prabhupada, he stops his rickshaw, jumps out, rickshaw, and he pays his prostrate obeisances to Srila Prabhupada in the middle of the road, just flat out. And then Prabhupada's eyes went wide and said, "Just see, this is the glory," something like that. Maybe I don't remember the exact word. "This is the glory of India," or "This is the that even a rickshaw driver knows how to in Vrindavan." Especially, I think he said there at the time was like a special feature of Vrindavan. Normally, rickshaw drivers don't do that. But in India, that they know how to respect a spiritual master, respect a Vaishnava, so a saintly person. This is one thing that I think everybody who has ever had the opportunity of doing traveling Sankirtan or something in India has experienced. There's no K, what do you call those? K campers or something? K ways. K-O ways. Knockout ways. K-O. Or campground of America. Or campgrounds of America and so on. That they don't have any of those things. In fact, there's so many people, and normally it's not really even safe to park your car by the side of the road because there's no side to the roads. It's kind of just one lane roads in most places, and off the road is not even enough to put a car. You have to be like, you're kind of. So, but our traveling parties, when they travel around, they are received by people, and please come into our house, please stay here. In fact, I even had a preaching program where I would take deities, and then we would go to, we just ask who is the most pious person. I'd go to be traveling, selling books. I had about 8 people, 10 people with me. Bhagavad Amrita, Prabhu and others sometime at different time there with me when we were doing this. Prabhupada was very pleased by this traveling program. Sometimes we got so involved in selling books that we would forget to make an advance arrangement for where we would stay. When the sun started going down, we realized we had to make an arrangement. So we just go, we ask who are the big people in the city or the town, even small towns of 10,000. They say, well, this person, that person. We go, and we ask, do you know anywhere where we could stay in your town? And then immediately they say, please come and stay with me. They'd empty, if there was they'd sometime empty out their own room and all move in another room and say, please stay here. And then I would tell the pujari to go with the list and ask the person, that where is the marketplace that I can go and buy the grains and vegetables for offering to the deity? How to get to the marketplace to do this? And the person would, you know, become stuck, grab the list from the hand and, you know, say, no, you cannot, I will get, what do you want? And, this, you know, and then, in this way, we would always prepare our own prasadam. We'd never take food given by others. We'd prepare and we'd cook and offer to the deity. Then we'd give them mahaprasad. So that we were guests in their house, we were feeding them. It was a nice reciprocation. But in every case, I mean, this psychology, I never found anyone who would say, yeah, well, you go that way to that market. It was like an honor. That, or it would be, they would consider even a poor person that they would want to provide the food. But we never asked them, please get, we did do it in this kind of subtle way, and they would voluntarily offer. At least in Bengal and a few places where I try, I found that people had this natural hospitality. Even if they were devotees of other gods or other systems, they were generally very favorable. In fact, sometimes you get people, they wouldn't give a donation, but they would have no hesitation to feed or otherwise provide shelter for the devotees. And they used to say that someone who comes to the house unannounced is known as atithi. Titi meaning date, atithi meaning without date or without, to someone as a guest. That there's a saying, atithi narayana. That apparently in one of the Puranas, one time Narayana came to the house of a grihastha in disguise as a guest. And so this way they consider that someone who comes to the house like that, to treat him as if he was Narayana, can never tell. But like this, there are these aspects. So they have some kind of ingrained idea about etiquette to some degree. Not that it's necessarily so deep, but especially out in the country of India. In the cities now, the young people are learning Western etiquette. Video machines and other things are crazy there now. But someone that we need to learn this Vaishnava etiquette. So Indians have a little bit of a head start due to their cultural background, at least the people who are not so much in the big cities. I think outside the big cities, the etiquette is more well known than those who grew up in the bigger cities, unless they're in a very kind of high class family or something. But they may have that advantage by birth in some cases, although Megrari here may have also been an Indian, but he was a hunter. There are also uncivilized Indians, but not so often you find. But even if we are uncivilized, even if we're born in a Western culture, or even if we are by nature totally ignorant of how to act in relation to other devotees, we have to learn that. We shouldn't think that, well, just because we're chanting Hare Krishna, just because we're somehow or another doing our devotional service or preaching, that therefore automatically we are perfect and complete, umpurnam or something. And no, we should always try to become more refined, learn the proper etiquette. And this way we'll be a better devotee, we'll be also a better preacher. and will be more able to attract the mercy of Nitai Gaur, at least if for nothing else, because we'll avoid many offenses. But apart from that, actually, you will charm people if you know the proper etiquette, how to deal. Kampa pulakasu hoilo Krishna namagaya Urdva bahu nitya kore bastauraya. When the hunter chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra before his spiritual master, his body trembled and tears welled in his eyes. Filled with ecstatic love, he raised his hands and began to dance, waving his garments up and down. Dekhiya byade prema parvat mohamuni naradere kohe tumi havasparsamoni. When Parvati Muni saw the ecstatic loving symptoms of the hunter, he told Narada, "Certainly you are a touchstone." Purport. By Srila Prabhupada, when a touchstone touches iron, it turns the iron to gold. Parvati Muni called Narada Muni a touchstone because by his touch, the hunter who was lowest among men became an elevated and perfect Vaishnava. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the position of a Vaishnava can be tested by seeing how good a touchstone he is. That is, by seeing how many Vaishnavas he has made during his life. A Vaishnava should be a touchstone so that he can convert others to Vaishnavism by his preaching. Even though people may be fallen like the hunter, there are many so-called advanced devotees who sit in a secluded place for their personal benefit. They do not go out to preach and convert others into Vaishnavas, and therefore certainly cannot be called sparsamoni, advanced devotees. Kanishtha Adhikari devotees cannot turn others into Vaishnavas. But a Madhyama Adhikari Vaishnava can do so by preaching. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised his followers to increase the numbers of Vaishnavas. Jare deko tare koho Krishna upodesh Amaranjai guru hoya taro e desh. Chaitanya Charamita Madhya 7.128. It is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wish that everyone should become a Vaishnava and Guru. Following the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciplic succession, one can become a spiritual master, for the process is very easy. One can go everywhere and anywhere to preach the instructions of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's instructions. Therefore, the duty of every Vaishnava is to travel and preach Bhagavad Gita, either in his country or a foreign country. This is a test of sparsamoni, following in the footsteps of Narada Muni. Om Tat Sat. So, it's the duty of everyone to preach Bhagavad Gita, either in his own country or in a foreign country. One may preach to his family or to his village or his city. One may go to another state and preach. Or may even go to another country and preach. Somehow or another, we should try to give the message of Krishna consciousness to others. Srila Prabhupada has exhibited this trait that he is coming directly in the line from Narada Muni and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shows all their divine potency manifesting. Because he was a true sparsimony, he was able to make countless devotees all over the world. Just going into new places, even when he was in Russia for a short time, without any temples, without any previous devotees being there, simply on an invitation, from the Professor Katowski. He was able to make so many persons devotees that now our movement has spread. Of course, other preachers have gone there subsequently. But the first devotees made by Srila Prabhupada are the seed from which other plants, branches and so on have come out. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada has shown his ability to create so many devotees. Srila Prabhupada's glory will be magnified when his followers are also blessed. You see, especially sparsimony can make gold. So if a sparsimony or chintamani can make gold, that's very good. But normally with one chintamani, you don't make another chintamani. So if someone can make other chintamanis, other sparsimonis, that's even better. The Prabhupada means that whose feet so many Prabhus or so many empowered Vaishnavas have taken shelter. The glory of the ISKCON movement will be when so many devotees, followers of Srila Prabhupada, are empowered by Srila Prabhupada to carry out this service of spreading the Vaishnav Dharma and are in turn manifesting the quality as sparsimony, they're bringing so many others to take shelter of the Lord. So, on the other hand, there are some persons in India, we find that there are sometimes some so-called great spiritual masters and pure devotees and so on, but who generally they just sit in one place. They don't have the desire to go out and preach. Sometimes they are able to break the faith of some initiated devotee who has a bona fide spiritual master, and then they get such persons to leave their spiritual master. That is something which is very doubtful, that that's even the activity of a Vaishnava. One may not be a sparsimoni, but he may personally be practicing devotional service. But as a sparsimony, then one goes out and preach. But if somebody's occupation is to break the faith of others, or to criticize others who have this potency of being a sparsimony, then one can ask the question, that what is their actual position? How are they a Vaishnava? So therefore we avoid criticism, we avoid listening to criticism of any Vaishnavas, especially those who are going out and preaching and who are making so many, converting so many others into Vaishnavas. It's very easy for someone who cannot turn others into Vaishnavas to criticize that how someone is traveling or how that person is making so many other people into Vaishnavas. Must be all material, or must be that. That's very easy to show pashchats. But that's completely neglecting carrying out the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, we find that opportunities to preach are so many. And someone who's a Sankirtan leader or leader of a temple, who is leading Sankirtan preaching, they're actually very important devotees. The Prabhupada said that someone who's leading a Sankirtan effort is the dearmost to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no one who's dearer. So, you understand that the way that one gets very qualified as being dear to Lord Chaitanya is by preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya. So So those who criticize such devotees, then Prabhupada once said that they're even the general public praise the devotees for their preaching, for their high standard at so-called sadhu. If they criticize, then it would appear that they're even lower than the public, or to speak of being a Vaishnava. Although, according to their trappings, they appear to be as great Vaishnavas. But unfortunately, in the world today, sometimes when a person does very good preaching, others are there to criticize. So this thing has to be avoided. And we personally follow in the tradition of Prabhupada to give credit to persons according to their ability to preach. If we see that someone is advancing the cause of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, we feel very grateful for that, we identify with that. And just as Parvata Muni didn't have any hesitation with praising Narada Muni, sometimes you can say that Parvata Muni was Narada Muni's godbrother in a sense. They were spiritual equals. Don't know exactly Parvata Muni's initiation, gurus and all that exact, but I mean they're basically at a very similar level. Therefore Narada Muni would associate with Parvata Mahamuni and came with him. So here we find that many things actually this is a quite, now that I think about it, this is practical. One thing is how Parvata Muni glorified Narada Muni. That we shouldn't feel shy about glorifying our God brothers if they do something good. Oh, you did a very good Sankirtan, Prabhu. Oh, my dear God sister, you did some very good Sankirtan. Congratulations to you. You must have the mercy of Guru Krishna or something. Sometimes maybe those words don't like to come out, but there's no harm. In fact, that is proper etiquette to even offer. But the person being praised, of course, they have to adjust their consciousness not to get puffed up or anything. But this concept of appreciating service, not only from the guru, but even from one's own satirtas or godbrothers, is a principle which we find among such great devotees. They're not having any kind of material separation between them. There's a spontaneous. Spontaneity, Prabhupada Muni said, oh, wonderful what you've done. You've made this hunter into a Vaishnava. He's ecstatically chanting Hare Krishna. This is very good. Now, in this regard, we see that here Narada Muni is coming and the hunter is specifically offering respect before his spiritual master. And in fact, so much so that even he jumps up and he starts chanting, Hare Krishna, thing, and is crying and everything. At this point, Parvata Muni did not feel that offended that why my guru godbrother is being worshipped in front of me. This is very offensive. Sometimes some kind of strange philosophy came out. I think I haven't heard it recently, but one time we heard that somehow it was an offense if the guru is worshipped by his disciple when his godbrother is present. But philosophically, I've never found any basis for that. Maybe that's why I don't hear it much anymore. Rather, we find here that Parvata Muni, he was very happy to see that in this world where nobody has any faith in Guru. In fact, even one person asked me yesterday, why do we bow down before someone? Aren't we only supposed to bow down before God? So this is a common thing that nobody wants to bow down before anyone. So when they see, someone sees that here someone is bowing down before his guru and has developed faith in guru and has become enthusiastic to serve Krishna through the guru, then naturally that's a source of rejoicing for all Vaishnavas that somebody somewhere is developing some faith in spiritual life. So Parvati Muni, he was very happy to see. In fact, we can tell from his candid remark, he was overjoyed to see Narada Muni's ability to make this hunter into a Vaishnava. What to speak of object, he was rather very happy. So, like this, and of course, normally we don't study the Margari, the hunter pastime from all these different angles. But it's something very practical, because here we see that how Narada Muni is saying, come on, look, see, I have a disciple, you should see, he was a hunter before. And he must have told the whole story to Parvati Muni. Then Parvati Muni came and said, look at that. This person that was half killing animals, look at, he's jumping up and down in ecstasy. This is very nice. I heard that one time Prabhupada said that in New York one time Narada Muni came and visited, and he was laughing and laughing how all the mlechas and javanas were dancing in ecstasy, chanting Hare Krishna. So, we who are, even the hunter was just killing animals, deer, so he wouldn't think to kill a cow probably. So, or what to speak of, at least he... So, anyway, separated from Vedic culture for thousands and millions of years and now taking it up, even though they've had the habits of Yavanas or Mlechas, it's a matter of rejoicing. Even the Indian people, they're very enthusiastic when they come to the temple and they say, oh, you are doing more than we are doing. You may have heard that sometimes. We are not able to give up all these things, but you are doing. Therefore, we are very grateful because you are serving our culture. So that common identification as at least that our interest is to Krishna, to spreading the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anything which will further that, even if I am personally, if our person considers himself to be personally he can still, I appreciate that at least someone is doing something for my Lord, even though I am not able myself to do as much as I would like to. So, we can see that what's really needed is a relationship amongst all the devotees of love and trust. And of course, we should understand how when the hunter greeted Narada Muni, he also naturally respected the godbrother of his guru. There definitely is a different relationship between the hunter and Narada and Parvati Muni and Narada. Although Parvati Muni was not his guru, but he was an exalted Vaishnava, he had a relationship with Narada Muni. So naturally the disciple respects the associates of the spiritual master and is careful not to offend them, knowing that they have some special relationship with the spiritual master. And this way, all the things have to be adjusted. It may sound complicated, but if things are on the basis of love, then it's not very complicated. If things become on the basis of rules and regulations, then it gets a little more complicated, although it's not too complicated, but it's a little more complicated. But if it's done on the basis of love, then we can see that spontaneously it's natural that things will be done in this way. Every word that Prabhupada says is filled with so much meaning. One can go everywhere and anywhere to preach the instructions of Krishna. One time they wrote Prabhupada that, what if we are trying to preach somewhere and not getting good results? They're going to say, go somewhere else. Go wherever you get good results. Just like when we sell books, sometimes, you know, go wherever that opportunity is good. Although sometimes devotees try to preach in even very difficult places of the world. knowing that ultimately this is Lord Chaitanya's desire. And this way, spread the Krishna conscious movement to every town and village and every country of the world. So that desire of going everywhere and anywhere to give the message of Krishna, even in the future, it's natural for devotees even to think that, well, after we finish this planet, make it Krishna conscious, what about the other planets? What about the moon planet? What about the other planets in the universe? There's so many planets. There are 14 levels of planetary systems, so within those 14 levels, there are millions of planets in the universe. Some fall within different levels. So there are other planets on this level, where Lord Chaitanya personally didn't have his pastimes. So we have to go there and spread that Sankirtan process, that people can be submerged in ecstasy of chanting the holy names. So actually there are some devotees that like to stay and do this service of confidential service of preaching in behalf of Krishna. And there are others who go back to the spiritual world, and some who go back, but they come back here like Narada Muni. Although he can go right to Narayana, next minute he can come down to take a bath in the Prayag confluence of the three rivers, Jamuna, Ganga and Saraswati. And this way he goes and he spreads the glories of the Lord everywhere. So someone like Narada Muni, who can go right to Krishna's palace in Dwaraka, at the same time goes and he preaches to a hunter like Mrigari, who is a completely uncouth, uncivilized, violent kind of person, then we can understand that there must be some real nectar in preaching. Isn't it? Otherwise, why will someone like Narada Muni, who can taste directly the nectar even of seeing Krishna face to face and serve, he takes this service to go and give people the holy name. So it's a great opportunity for us that somehow or another, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, and the Vaishnavas, that we're able to tell conditioned souls about the glories of Krishna and to spread the Harinam Sankirtan process. Thus getting an opportunity to taste that nectar which these great devotees are tasting. Hare Krishna.